الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شيخ أبو بكر الشبلي رحمة الله عليه. الطارز دعاء. O Lord of the Prophet, whoever reads or listens to this 25-page booklet about Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayh, protect them from loving the world, grant them ability to sincerely perform good deeds, and allow them entry into Jannat al-Firdaus without accountability. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellences of reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the reputed spiritual guide of the Qadiriyya, Razaviyya, Attariyya spiritual chain, Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi explains, I saw my deceased neighbor in a dream and asked, how did Allah deal with you? He replied, I encountered severe difficulties. I was unable to answer the questions of Munkar and Nakir, i.e. the angels who pose questions in the grave. Thoughts then began running through me, and I felt I had perhaps died without faith. A voice declared, this punishment is for speaking unnecessarily in the world. Angels then began to approach. Just as they were about to inflict torment upon me, a person came between them and myself. He was beautiful in appearance and emanated fragrance. He reminded me of the answers to Munkar and Nakir's questions. I answered accordingly, and alhamdulillah, punishment was lifted from me. I turned to the person and said, may Allah have mercy on you. Who are you? He explained, I was created from the blessings of your abundant recital of Salat. I have been tasked to help you in every difficulty. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in our graves. Subhanallah. When an angel can come into our graves and help us due to the blessings of Salat, why would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam not be able to, when he is the personality upon whom Salat itself is recited and is the master of all creation, including angels? Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The rank of a person committed to salawat. O those who love Allah's messenger, observe the incalculable blessings we can earn from reciting salat, if only we were consistent and punctual in its recitation. Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayh, the 12th murshid in the Qadiriyya, Razaviyya, Attariyya spiritual chain, was an individual greatly loved by the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. An inkling of this can be gleaned from the following story. When he met Shaykh Abu Bakr bin Mujahid rahmatullahi alayh, a leading scholar of Baghdad, the latter embraced him, kissed his forehead, and seated him next to himself. Witnessing the profound honor displayed, attendees of the gathering exclaimed, O our master, until yesterday, you and the people of Baghdad were saying Al-Shibli had lost his senses. Why now do you afford him this steep respect? He explained in reply, I did not do this without reason. Alhamdulillah, last night I had an amazing dream in which I beheld the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stand, embrace Al-Shibli, kiss his forehead, and seat him next to himself. O Messenger of Allah, I humbly inquired, why such kindness and compassion for Al-Shibli? Informing of the unseen, the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, he recites this verse after every salah and then recites salat upon me. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Indeed, there has come to you that messenger from amongst yourselves. Heavy upon him is your suffering. He immensely desires your well-being. Utmost kind, merciful for the Muslims. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. His name in the Qadiriyya, Razaviyya, Attariyya spiritual chain. The Amir of Ahlus Sunnah has issued his murids and talibs a table of spiritual lineage, i.e. Shajara, which they are to recite daily. This comprises of names belonging to pious predecessors and elders, including Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayh. In this shajara, dua is made to Allah with the intermediation, i.e. vasila, of the Shaykh, as follows. Behre Shibli Shere Haq Dunya Ke Kutton Se Bacha Ek ka rakha abde wahid beriya ke wasite. Behr, for the sake of. Shere haq, i.e. lion of Allah. Dunya ke kutton, those selfish for worldly gain. Beriya, a sincere individual. This couplet explained in summary. O Allah, for the sake of Abu Bakr al-Shibli, who is your righteous servant and lion, save me from those who are greedy for the world. For the sake of his successor, Shaykh Abdul Wahid al-Tamimi, make me a sincere slave of yours. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Arabic Shajara. The reviver of Islam and Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh, compiled a lengthy Arabic shajara penned in the form of salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In this, he mentions Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayh in the following manner. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik alayhi wa alayhim wa ala al-mawla al-shaykh Abi Bakr al-Shibli radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Dear Allah, send salat, salam and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Send the same upon his family, companions and Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi. An introduction to his life. Dear Islamic brothers, Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi was born near Baghdad in 247 AH in the locality of Samara. His name was Jafar and his technonym Abu Bakr. Due to living in Shibla or Shabila, he became known as Shibli. The Shaykh harbored deep-rooted love for the name of Allah. He would kiss it wherever he saw it written. Allah had lifted the veils from his eyes, as he himself explained. When I go to the marketplace, I am able to read the words Sa'id, i.e. fortunate, and Shaqi, i.e. misfortunate, written on the foreheads of people thereupon. Regal garments. Studying sacred knowledge for 30 years, he became expertly proficient in jurisprudence and hadith. The Shaykh was also Maliki and had memorized Imam Malik's famous Mu'atta in its entirety. The king of his time appointed his father as governor of the Nahawand region, a position the Shaykh also acquired after acquiring sacred knowledge. The king once summoned all his governors and gave them expensive clothing. One of them sneezed and wiped his nose with the luxurious garment he had received. This enraged the king, who removed him from office and had the clothing returned to him. Sheikh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi went to the king and said, "You do not like for anyone to disrespect what you gifted them, and you are a creation. Yet the king of all creation has blessed me with his friendship. He would not like for me to waste this auspicious bounty." The Shaykh left his governance behind and went to the gathering of Khair al-Nassaj rahmatullahi alayh, whereupon he repented. The latter instructed him to visit the celebrated Saint Abu al-Qasim Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayh, to whom he pledged an oath of allegiance, i.e. bay'at. The Shaykh then completely engrossed himself in acts of worship and spiritual exercise. Eventually, he was declared a successor of Junaid al-Baghdadi. Unka mangta paon se takra de wo duniya ka taj, jiski khatir mar gaye munam ragar kar eriyan. Duniya ka taj, worldly status and rank. Munam, a person blessed with bounties. Explaining the poetry of Raza. In this couplet, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi espouses, "He who asks in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the wealthiest person of all. This is because they offer no importance to worldly positions of power and authority, and cast these away with a mere swipe of their foot. This is in contrast to others who die for these worldly gains and rub their heels together in longing for them. This is an Urdu idiom and can be equated to how people rub their hands together out of greed." Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. When Shaykh Shibli made dua in sajda, "The pious servants of Allah do not desire worldly rank, material wealth, or earthly comfort. They instead flee from the world, its wealth and complexities, as these do nothing but distract one from Allah." Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi once saw a person wholly engulfed in worldly matters. He then made sajda and recited, "Alhamdulillahilladhi afani mimma abtalaka bihi wa faddalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafdila. All praise is for Allah who granted me safety from that he afflicted you with and granted me superiority over much of his creation." The scholar Ali Al-Qari rahmatullahi alayhi writes, "When Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi came across a person absorbed in worldly affairs, he would recite this to save himself from the calamities of worldly wealth. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-uqba. O Allah, I ask you for pardon and well-being in this world and the hereafter. May Allah have mercy upon him and grant us forgiveness without accountability for his sake. Ameen bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad." A favor's reward. Sheikh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayh once set out on a journey with 40 of his murids. After leaving Baghdad, the Sheikh turned to them and said, Allah guarantees his servants sustenance, i.e. rizq. He then recited the following parts of Surah At-Talaq, second and third verses. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. And whosoever fears Allah, Allah will create for him a way of salvation, and Allah will provide him sustenance from where he could not even imagine. And whoever relies upon Allah, so he is sufficient for him. After this, he left his murids where they were and went elsewhere. His absence lasted 3 days, and his murids had nothing to eat in this time. When he returned on the fourth day, he encouraged them by saying, Allah has given his servants permission to search for sustenance. It was declared in Surah Al-Mulk's 15th verse. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا فَامْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِن رِزْقِهِ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. It is He who made the earth subservient to you. Therefore, walk on its paths and eat from the sustenance bestowed by Allah. Send one of yourselves to look. The Shaykh ordered, hopefully he will find something to eat. The murid selected a poor person from amongst them and sent him back to Baghdad. He wandered from street to street but could not find any kind of sustenance. He eventually sat down, tired and dejected. Nearby was the medical store of a non-Muslim doctor who expertly skilled in diagnosing illnesses by checking a person's pulse. The doctor saw the person sitting on the floor and thought him to be unwell. Calling him close, the doctor checked his pulse and then asked for bread, meat and a sweet dish. He gave this to the poor person and said, this is the cure for what ails you. There are 40 other patients like me, the murid replied. The doctor arranged for more food, which was to be transported back to the other murids by way of servants. The doctor himself stealthily followed behind, with nobody aware of his presence. The poor person returned to his fellow murids, accompanied by servants bearing food. When it was presented before Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayh, he did not touch it with even a fingertip. O righteous slaves of Allah, he exclaimed, there is a marvelous secret in this food. The murid who went to Baghdad then explained the entire situation. The Shaykh said, a non-Muslim has treated us exceedingly well. Is it right for us to eat without recompensing him? O Shaykh, we are but poor people, the murids replied. What can we possibly give him? The Shaykh said, they will all make dua for the doctor before eating, which they did collectively. The blessings of this became immediately apparent. The doctor, who was in hiding and watching everything unfold, felt something in his heart which he had never felt before. He came out of hiding, sat before the Shaykh and recited the kalima. Having now become Muslim and repented from his past, he went on to become a high-ranking murid of the Shaykh. May Allah have mercy upon them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Loving and serving the awliya. Dear Islamic brothers, look at the unique way the awliya, i.e. friends of Allah, the saints, call others to righteousness. Whoever loves, serves, or helps them never returns empty-handed. We also learn we should make dua for whoever shows good conduct towards us. If a non-Muslim helps or does us a favor, we should pray for them to accept Islam. The dua of Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayh and his murids was accepted, and the doctor became Muslim. A non-Muslim doctor who accepted Islam. Here is another amazing story of a non-Muslim doctor embracing Islam. Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayh once became extremely ill and was taken to a hospital for treatment. The minister of Baghdad, Ali bin Isa, saw the severity of the Shaykh's illness and contacted the king, requesting an experienced doctor to be sent as soon as possible. The king sent a non-Muslim doctor. Despite the latter's skill and extensive spectrum of treatment, the Shaykh's health did not improve. The doctor sighed. If I came to know your remedy lay in my flesh itself, I would not hesitate to cut it off for you. Hearing this, the Shaykh explained, my treatment can be achieved for less than this. When the doctor asked how, he replied, become Muslim. The doctor accepted Islam, and Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi regained his health that very moment. May Allah have mercy upon them and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The reviver of Islam and Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi, penned a Persian couplet extolling the Shaykh, which translates as, the progeny of Allah's lion are also lions. O Abu Bakr al-Shibli, I ask you to help me. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, Islam is the only true religion. It corresponds to the natural disposition of mankind. Inviting non-Muslims to Islam is the sunnah of all prophets and messengers, alayhimus salam. The fundamental reason prophets and messengers, alayhimus salam, were sent into this world was so mankind could be extracted from the darkness of disbelief and led to the light of Islam. The preceding stories highlight the vigilance and passion of Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayh regarding calling to Islam. When a non-Muslim embraced Islam, he immediately became well out of happiness. The Shaykh came with bodily illness, yet he overlooked this and cured someone suffering from a spiritual ailment. The Shaykh came with a problem, yet he solved the problems of another by inviting them to Islam. To further this call to righteousness across the world, travel in the Sunnah-inspired Madani Qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami. You too can bring people to Islam and guide Muslims who have lost their way. Unshakable love for the Sunnah. The jurist and historian Abdul Wahhab al-Sharani rahmatullahi alayhi writes, Abu Bakr al-Shibri al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi needed to use miswak during wudu. Despite searching, he did not come across one. He proceeded to purchase a miswak for one dinar, i.e. a gold coin, and began to use it. Some people said, "You have spent so much. Has a miswak ever been bought for this price?" The Shaykh replied, "In the sight of Allah, this world and everything in it has less status than the wing of a mosquito. How will I answer if Allah asks me on the day of judgment, why did he abandon the sunnah of my beloved? Whatever wealth I gave you does not hold the value of a mosquito's wing in my court. Why did you not spend such lowly wealth for an esteemed sunnah?" Dear Islamic brothers, look at how much the Shaykh loved and valued the sunnah. May we too become true living reflections of the sunnah and devotees of Allah's messenger. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. A heart-rending Hajj. When Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi arrived on the plains of Arafah during his Hajj, he remained completely silent until sunset. When he performed Sa'i and passed the two green mileposts, tears began flowing from his eyes. He then expressed his feelings with a handful of Arabic couplets which translate as, "I set forth with the seal of your love stamped upon my heart. Only your love is what shall remain with it. If only I were steadfast. If only I could keep my eyes closed and not open them until I beheld you. When tears pour from the eyes onto the cheeks, it becomes apparent who is truly crying and who is merrily pretending. May Allah have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam." Curing the Caliph, the people of Allah are not worried by bodily ailments or worldly problems. With the permission of Allah, the awliya can even cure terminal or incurable diseases in the blink of an eye. Caliph Harun al-Rashid rahmatullahi alayh once became ill. Medicine and treatment were unable to return him to health. 6 months passed in this state. He came to know Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayh was passing by his palace, so he requested for the saint to visit him. When the latter arrived, he explained, "Do not worry. By the mercy of Allah, you will recover today." The Shaykh recited salat upon the Prophet and passed his hand over the Caliph's body, curing him instantly. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The Muhammadan faith. Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi relates, "I was once travelling from Makkah to Sham. En route, I met a Christian scholar residing in a monastery. I asked, 'Why have you secluded yourself here?' He replied, 'I stay here to concentrate on performing a lot of worship, and so worldly tasks are not an obstacle to this.' 'Who do you worship?' I asked. He responded, 'Isa alayhi salam.' I further asked, 'Why do you worship a prophet of Allah instead of Allah himself? The only God is Allah, and only He is worthy of worship.' The monk insisted. Isa alayhi salam went 40 days and nights without eating. I asked, 'You think someone can become God by spending 40 days and nights without eating?' The monk said yes in reply. I then said, 'I will stay with him there, and he can count how many days and nights I go without eating or drinking.'
I busied myself with worshipping Allah for 40 days, not eating or drinking once in that time. When this time passed, I suggested, if you wish, I can spend further time without food and water. The monk then asked me what my religion was. I am from the Ummah of Allah's final prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I said, I am a humble servant of his and my religion is Islam. The monk forsook his religion, recited the kalima and became Muslim. I took him with me to Damascus and said to the people there, ensure to look after this new Muslim brother of yours and do not allow him to face any difficulty. I stayed there for a few days before leaving. When I returned, I found this new Muslim brother was always worshipping Allah and was beginning to be considered a saint. May Allah have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Shaykh's threshold of zakat. Ibn Bashar would once prevent people from sitting with and listening to Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi. He one day decided to test the Shaykh himself. Ibn Bashar asked, how much zakat is there upon 5 camels? The Shaykh remained silent and did not offer a response. When he repeated the question many times, the Shaykh finally explained, according to Sharia, one goat is wajib. The ruling for us is to give them all in zakat. However, do you have an imam you follow in this ruling? Ibn Bashar inquired. The Shaykh declared he did. When asked who this was, he said, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, as he gave all his wealth in charity. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked what he had left for his family, he replied, Allah and his messenger. Ibn Bashar was greatly moved by this and never forbade anyone from meeting with the Shaykh again. One hadith from 4000. Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi acquired knowledge from upwards of 400 scholars. He himself states, I studied 4000 hadith. I specifically selected one from amongst them, reflected deeply upon what it means, and began practically implementing it. I found salvation from punishment, and my own personal success lay in this one particular hadith, in which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to some of his companions, busy yourself with preparing for the world and the grave for as long as you are to remain in them. Perform deeds for Allah as much as you are in need of Him, and undertake actions for the fire of hell as much as you have strength to bear it. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Servant of the noble saints rahmatullahi alayhim. Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi once saw a Bedouin readily and wholeheartedly serving the Sufis of Makkah. When asking the reason behind this, the Bedouin said, I once journeyed through a desolate wasteland. I came across a bareheaded and barefoot person who had no travel belongings with him of any kind. Seeing this, I decided to approach and offer any food and water I had available. I drew closer to him slowly. When I was but a foot away, he suddenly disappeared from my sight entirely. The suddenness of this took me back, and I began to think this person was a devil. A voice then said, "No, he is not a devil. He is but totally engrossed in love for the divine." I called for the person, for the sake of he who sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam as a true prophet. Hear what I have to say, even for but a moment. The person appeared and replied, "O young man, you have exhausted both you and I." I then said, "I merely wanted to help him, as I saw him alone in a wasteland." He responded by saying, "How can somebody who has Allah with him ever be alone?" I mentioned how I did not see him with travel provisions or belongings of any kind. He replied, "When I am hungry, the dhikr of Allah becomes my provision. And when I am thirsty, beholding him becomes my objective." I requested if he could provide me with food. He asked, "Do you not believe in the miracles of the awliya?" "Indeed I do," I said. "Yet I ask simply to satiate my heart." He struck his hand on the desert floor, took a handful of sand and gave it to me. "O deceived soul, eat this." I saw the sand had become edible grains, which appeared delicious and exquisite. He explained, "In the wilderness, saints are bestowed with many such bounties, if you understood." I asked him for water to drink. He struck his foot upon the earth, to which a spring of water and honey burst forth. I sat down to drink from this, and when I raised my head, he had disappeared again. I have no idea where he could have gone. From that day, I resolved I shall serve the awliya. Perhaps I will see a saint like him again. May Allah have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Speaking good is better than remaining silent. In Kashf al-Mahjub, Shaykh Ali al-Hajwairi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, Abu Bakr al-Shibli al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi was passing through a district of Baghdad when he heard a man saying, "As-sukutu khayrun min al-kalami." Silence is better than speech. He responded, "Your silence is better than your speech, whilst my speech is better than my silence." Unique advice in regard to rizq. A man came to the Shaykh and said, "I have a big family, yet my means of acquiring rizq are few." He advised, "Enter your home and remove everybody whose rizq you consider to be dependent upon you. As for those whose rizq is guaranteed by Allah, let them remain therein." Passing away whilst acting upon the sunnah. Jafar bin Muhammad bin Nusayr al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi asked the Shaykh's servant Bakran Dinawari what happened when Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi passed away. The servant revealed, "The Shaykh lamented, someone's dirham reached me through a path of oppression and lays in my responsibility. I have given thousands on behalf of its owner in charity, yet thoughts of it are eating away at me." He then ordered me to help him perform wudu. I did so, but forgot to help him make khilal. At that point, he was unable to speak, so he could not verbally remind me. He took hold of my hand and led it to his beard, after which I made khilal for him. He passed away after this. Hearing this, Ja'far bin Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi began to cry and exclaimed, "What can be said of a man who did not miss an etiquette of Sharia even in his final moments?" Passing away. He passed away on Friday the 27th of Zulhijjah, 334 AH, at the age of 88. His shrine is in Baghdad. Replying on behalf of all Adam's offspring. After his passing away, someone saw him in a dream and asked, "How did you face the angels of questioning in the grave?" He explained, "When they asked who my Lord is, I replied, 'My Lord is he who created Adam and watched you and other angels prostrating to him.' They heard this and said, 'He has answered on behalf of all the offspring of Prophet Adam alayhi salam.' They departed after this. Six saintly aphorisms of Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli. Number one, gratitude is not to focus on what bounties you receive. Instead, it is to focus on he who bestows them. Number two, when a Muslim nears his time of death, his complexion turns pale as he fears standing in the court of Allah. When he exits his grave, his face shall be illuminated. Number three, bad opinions of the pious are developed when one adopts bad company. Number four, you shall most certainly acquire what is yours. As for what is not yours, you will not acquire it even with effort. Number five, to derive blessings from the Quran's advice, you must keep your heart attentive and not let it slip even for the blink of an eye. Number six, Hajj has two letters, Ha and Jim. Ha entails clemency, whilst Jim means sin. The meaning gathered from this equates to a person saying, 'O Allah, I have come to your court with my crimes, hoping for your clemency and mercy. If you do not forgive me, then who will?'" Sallu ala al-Habib. صلى الله على محمد.